Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing? Good to see everyone this morning. And it's been a busy and beautiful weekend. We had the Band of Brothers yesterday, and we had the Watered Women. There we go, whooshing away. So it was a lovely time. And men, we have our studies this week on Tuesday and then Friday, but then we'll be on break. But there will be some opportunity for fellowship men. Check your emails. We'll have a few hikes and prayer, go for a hike, get in the Word and pray together and other things like that. And the ladies have their redemptive reads this summer. So Christina will be sending out, my lovely bride, information on all that. Before we dig in, if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and our lovely usher will get one to you. So anybody here need a Bible, raise your hand if you need a Bible. Anybody? Going once, going twice. Okay, everyone's locked and loaded. Good. So a few things I just want to say before we get started today, because as we know, yesterday our nation attacked Iran, and many of you may be following the news, and there's a few things I want to remind us as we look at everything, and one is to remember that our Lord God Almighty is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to remember that. We need to hold to that. And you can see when things like this are going down, you see different folks saying many different opinions, many different words, but you'll see this understanding of no more wars, no more wars. And one thing I want to remind us all, at the fall, we entered a war. At the fall of man, a war began, and it's a spiritual war that will continue going, and we have the understanding, we have how it goes through the Word of God. And the attack that took place was in support of standing with Israel. And in the midst of it, a few things I remind us that we need to be doing as the Bride of Christ. We need to pray for our leaders in this country. We need to have steadfast prayer for our leaders, that they have godly wisdom and discernment, and that in the midst of this, this doesn't become something that can just further try to divide and cause chaos within our country. Let's focus on praying for the leaders. Let's focus on praying for our servicemen and women in this country that fight for our nation, that are coming alongside there and their families. And pray, you know, last night, if you saw the words that President Trump said, at one point he said, God, we love you, God, and went on to say a few other things. And I heard that and prayed that for each person hearing that, they would think, what is it to have a relationship with the triune Lord God Almighty? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And we pray for salvation. That's something that since everything took place on October 7th has been on my heart. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for the Bride of Christ in Israel. And we need to pray for the Bride of Christ in Iran. This is an opportunity on all sides of this for the gospel to go forth and boldly. And as we pray, we realize biblical prophecy, boy, oh boy, is it engaged. Boy, oh boy, is it engaged. And as I mentioned last week, when we look to the Ezekiel war, when you look at some of these key players and you see some things going on, the stage is set that all to come is going to make sense. It's not going to be something as it goes, well, that how did Persia, Iran, come to have these feelings towards Israel? No, it all makes sense. But as we look at it, as we see it, brothers and sisters, I really pray particularly for the church that we're sharing Christ. This is a time more than ever to share Jesus, to worship our King, to share him more and more. If you weren't here Wednesday, go back, listen to the sharing from our guests from Almond Branch Initiative and Pastor John Hessler from Calvary Chapel Central Bucks. Listen to last week's message where there were some words on Israel. And I encourage you, join us tonight for House of Prayer. We're going to really be focusing on praying for the Bride of Christ, praying for his people, Israel, and praying for his creation, everyone on this earth, that they would come to repentance. And now more than ever, I firmly believe we truly need spirit-filled, boldly empowered Christians going forth with Christ and the simplicity of the gospel in his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, Lord. Father, what a gift it is to gather in your house with your people, Lord Jesus. And Father, as we gather, we do pray for the leadership in our country, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you give wisdom that comes from you alone, Lord Jesus. Father God, when we look to the folks around our president right now, this cabinet, Lord, when we look to the fact that there are those we know who love you, Lord. Father, we just pray for salvation. We pray, Lord Jesus, for your will amidst this conflict. Lord Jesus, we pray for Israel. Heavenly Father, I continue to pray that the bride of Christ would not be silent on Israel, but boldly stand with your people, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for the church in Israel. We pray for the church in Iran. Lord, we pray for believers around this world that they would boldly share the gospel, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, that many would come to salvation, Father God. That many would come to salvation. Lord, I think of our ministry partners now, Almond Branch Initiative. I think of Elam, Lord. Work being done in both of the nations, Lord, that are at the center of this right now, Father. And Lord, we pray, strengthen your people to do your will. And Lord, right here in Calvary Chapel of Chapel Hill, Heavenly Father, I pray, teach us, build us, and give us a boldness through your Spirit, Lord, to share who you are. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for the saints of this church, Lord, who have such love for you and for each other that, Lord, wherever there is fear or doubt or thinking, how could I point someone to Jesus, Lord, through your Spirit, give them the power and boldness to do it, Lord, in the love that radiates this body, because it is your love, Lord. And Father, we pray that names are added to the book of life, Lord. And Father, we pray for pulpits across this nation that preach the false teaching that the church has somehow replaced Israel. Lord, help them to see the truth. Help them to come to repentance. Please, Father God. And Lord, now as we prepare to continue our journey in the book of Acts, Lord Jesus, I would ask that you help us to focus on what you have for us. Lord, help me to be your mouthpiece. Get all of me out of the way that it's your words for your people, Lord. Father God, to tend to the precious sheep of this flock, to teach them, to mold them, all for you, Lord. For Father God, as we sang this morning, it truly is all about you. We love you, Lord. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen. So last week, we began chapter 6 in the book of Acts, and we saw an issue that came up and arose, and in it, we saw that the enemy was coming, as he will try to do, to divide the church. And we saw the apostles respond, anchoring in their calling in the midst of that. And we saw the prayerful raising up of men. We saw issues entrusted to the leadership that God gave. And we saw the men that they prayerfully rose up were men of good reputation, men filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, a humility, as we looked at that, that would come from that combo, filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with wisdom. And there were 7 chosen, hands were laid on them. We looked at the beginning of that way of laying hands on with Moses. And I shared for us right here at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, how I'm prayerfully continuing to seek who he's leading and raising up for the next chapter of Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. And again, that when we look at all these things, it's not about trying to do it as fast as you can or just rush or these things. It's about who the Lord God Almighty calls, and it's about the character of those men. It's about the interior, not the exterior. So as we think to last week, one of the first things in the charge was, where did he strike you? And that comes up because it's just that reminder as we do these, how are you engaging with the conviction that the Lord God Almighty brings while you're under the teaching of his word? Because the beautiful thing with the word of God, we commit, we're working through Acts, he's going to minister to each and every single person here directly. But what are you doing with what he lays on your heart? What are you doing with what he teaches you? And then to ask ourselves, how's your complaining? How's your character? And as he reveals and refines you, where is he calling you to plug in and serve? And it really was a reminder, and I want to remind us as we look at this, saints, be prayerfully engaging with the word of God. Before we dig into the text today, I want to remind us of James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's important that week after week, lesson after lesson, teaching after teaching, that when you sit in these comfy chairs, when you sit in the community groups, wherever you are, under the word of God, that we remind ourselves we're called to be doers not just hearers only. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let the word of God be a mirror. It's a double-edged sword. Let it be a mirror. As we dig in today, let it be a mirror. Look to what the Lord is saying and let him show you what it reveals about what's going on in you, that he can refine you, that he can have all of you for his glory. Amen? So we're going to finish chapter 6 this morning, and the title of today's message is Stephen's Journey, and this is part 1. Accused. This is going to be, as we go through a short little series where we're going to glean different lessons from the life of Stephen, and particularly about how we are called to live, and I do believe how we're called to live even in the times that we're in right now. So I want to ask you a question. How many of you remember the game telephone? Anybody play the game telephone as a kid? Can we get the whisper photo up? So, you know, you're there, and then there's the little, okay, I'm going to tell this little secret. And then as you're going and you're waiting and you're listening and then you're waiting, what am I going to say? What am I going to add to this? And when we think about it, each person in that game is eagerly waiting. How can I twist it? How can I distort it? And then we go and we see it starts with Mary had two white cats, and suddenly now Mary had two black cats. And as we look at Stephen, I want to remind us that as we see him here, he obeys God's call. He's faithful to the role he's given. We're going to see God use him and expand him, but we're going to see others debate with him to no avail. And we're going to see the enemy, the chief accuser, motivate these secret meetings to whisper these lies unto his arrest and unto his standing before the Sanhedrin. Now, in Stephen, we're going to see Jesus' words truly fulfilled, and the words that Jesus said of persecution coming, the words that Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 11. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The text we're going to look at, and as we go into this journey of Stephen's sermon, we're going to see the reality of that scripture come true. Because it's not as though we see from the text anywhere that Stephen took all this time to figure out, okay, if I get arrested, this is what I'm going to say, and I'm going to start here and go there. No, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit takes over and leads it. From this, we're reminded lies can be whispers, false accusations brought, but fear not. He reigns. He will lead. He will speak through you. Yet, the key takeaway that I want us to see from this with Stephen is something we need to examine, our intimacy with God. Because that allows his peaceful confidence, that gives that bold preaching. And we see as we go through this Stephen sermon, this is the longest one we're going to have in Acts, and it's one of the most important ones. And today in our text, we're going to see a set of who, what, when, where, how. That little answer that you remember, if you did current events in grade school, you used to have to answer that with each current event. We're going to look at that with Stephen and look at it with those coming against him. And we're going to be reminded how to handle persecution, how to handle false accusation. And in it, each of us will have to ask ourselves, how's my relationship with the Lord? It's a check-in that we got to do regularly, quite frankly, but how is my relationship with the Lord? How's my intimacy with the Lord? Because you don't want to wait for the heat to be up and the fire to take place before you know how to use a fire extinguisher, right? You might want to have an idea. You want to have that relationship built and those disciplines built. So stand with me, brothers and sisters, and we are going to read Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15 all together. Acts chapter 6, we're going to read verses 8 to 15 all together. We read, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some of what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, each time we come to your word, Lord, we are reminded of your goodness. Lord, the gift to be able to be in your word, we thank you for that, Father. And Lord Jesus, as we dig into your word, Father, I would ask that you enable, Lord, me to deliver for you everything you need for your people this morning. That, Lord Jesus, you crush me, move me completely out of the way. That, Lord, the words that come forth are exactly what are needed for your people, for your church. And, Lord, we pray for those who may listen and not know you yet, that, Father God, today may be the day of their salvation. And, Lord, as we gather, I ask, remove the distractions. For, Lord, there's so much we could focus ourselves on amidst this time, Lord, and I just ask, help every single one of us to be humble and open as little children, saying, "Father God, teach me. Teach me." And Lord, for those who have studied this passage many times, I pray you illuminate new things to them, Lord Jesus. Father, through your Spirit, minister in this place today. In the precious and powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a seat. So when we get started here, we see, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." So the who that we're pointing to here, we see it's Stephen. And we know from last week, he's one that had good reputation. We know he's filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And now we see he's full of faith and power. Now, there is some debate from scholars that is it faith and power or is it grace and power in terms of the word and the meaning there. And I always like to remind us that truly there's no faith without living under his grace, and there's a union of that grace and faith together. So we won't get lost in that word debate. But what is he doing in this moment? We see that he's doing signs and wonders. Now, if we recall from chapter 2, we saw that that was set and something that was going to come forth for the 12. And this is the first time that we see one who's not one of the original 12 doing these signs and wonders. Now, that doesn't then mean we take that as a prescription that every single person here is now going to do signs and wonders. But it is a reminder for us, don't box God. He's going to do what he wants to do in and through who he calls through his Spirit. And this is all taking place when the hands were laid on him and now he's faithful to his calling. Where? In Jerusalem. Why is he doing it all? Because of obedience to the Lord. He observed the call and he's raised up. And in that obedience to the call, God uses him more and more. Because remember, what was he called to do? Administrate, serve the tables. It's just doing this administrative tasks for the Hellenist widows that had felt as though, hey, we're being overlooked. This isn't fair. So he's focused on their physical needs. But in the midst of his obedience to that, steadfast obedience, the Lord now gives him a chance to meet the more important spiritual need. And when we see that, it's not as though you look and you saw Stephen full of faith and power, looking for more opportunities, did great wonders and signs among the people. No. Because there's an understanding here. Ministry isn't a career. It's a calling. And whatever God has called you, brothers and sisters, here to do right now, guess what? That's your highest calling. And there's a question to you in that. How are you doing with it? Before you start to seek more, before it's, Lord, I want to do this, I want to do that, Lord, these all these things I want to do. First start with, how are you stewarding where he has you now? Because that's, if we look at the character of these seven that are chosen, and if we see where Stephen's going, it's this steadfast, you keep seeing, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of that. It's the intimacy, it's the relationship with God. How's your relationship with God? And then when you think of what's before you, how are you stewarding your spouse? How are you stewarding their relationship with the Lord? How are you stewarding your kids, your family, your job, your neighbors? How are you where he has you right now? Because I think sometimes we forget, we can get lost, and I want this, I want my purpose, I want my ministry. Marriage, that's a calling and a ministry. Amen? Amen. Okay. Parenthood, guess what? That's a calling and a ministry. How are you doing with those? Can we get the what are you doing picture? What are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with what God has given you? Where he has you, what he has you pointed to do, where he has you right now, how are you doing with that? Before you look to the next, how are you stewarding what he's given you and where he's called you right now? And that's something we all have to take stock of. We all have to interrogate and prayerfully let the Lord reveal. And we see for Stephen, faith and power, these signs and wonders that he's doing, it's not himself. He's obedient and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And that wisdom is what? Knowledge and action. Remember, we talked about that last week. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which means there's a reverence for the Lord God Almighty, which drives obedience. So if you want to be like Stephen, used by the Lord to do great things, first ask yourself, how am I doing with King Jesus? How's my relationship with King Jesus? And we see in that, just because he's obedient doesn't mean everything's going to be picture perfect and easy. It's not going to be. Look at what goes on. Verse 9. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So there's still opposition. It's interesting because you could think he's ready to go. Everybody's going to take it. He's filled with the Spirit. He's filled with faith. He's got the power of God. Whoo, good things, great things are going to happen. Just because you're obedient doesn't mean that there's not going to be hardship. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be not listening. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7, for crying out loud. We're reminded in the Old Testament. That's why we've got to look at it. You're faithful and obedient to what the Lord calls you to do, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a walk in the park. Because we've got to remember something. A heart can only be changed by God. We got to remember that. We have to stay faithful for what he calls us to do, but leave the details to God. We aren't the Savior. We can't save anyone. So don't try to do that. Realize that. Now, we've got to talk a little bit about these people. So we're looking at the synagogue of freedmen, libertines. Now, the synagogue at that time, it's similar where it would be a local place of worship. They're gathering to study scripture, knowing the temple would be the main center for all of Judaism, and that would be the spot for the sacrificial rituals. And at this time, within Jerusalem, there's about 400 different little synagogues taking place, and Jewish folks from other nations would come into Jerusalem, and they'd kind of have their own little sections and own little parts, and they would gather with ethnic groups within the synagogue. And the freedmen, these are liberated Jews who were enslaved, and they've now been granted, one, their freedom from Rome. And they would be coming from the diaspora, so we know from last week that's coming outside, these are actually Greek speakers. Cyrene being North Africa, modern Libya. If we think about Alexandria being in Egypt, Cilicia, now about southeast Turkey is where we would be talking about. And also we know Cilicia is interesting because that's the home of Saul. We're going to see in Acts 22 where he says, I am Saul of Tarsus in Cilicia. So again, we see he came to Jerusalem, and we'll get there to study under Gamaliel, but it's important to just get the context of where these synagogue of the freedmen are coming from. Who are they, right? And again, Greek speakers just like him, and they're hearing him teach, and they dispute. So these conversations move to debate, and the debate's going to eventually move to anger, and then it's going to move to some secret plots, and then it's going to move to a desire to destroy. We're going to see the way that cycle goes. Now, it's clear the Holy Spirit gave Stephen more wisdom than those before him. Because again, they weren't able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke. And it's important to realize it's a wisdom tied to the Spirit of God. It wasn't that they were impressed with his degrees. They weren't impressed with how much money he had in his bank account. They were impressed with a wisdom and a power and a presence and an ability to do things from the Spirit of God. Saints, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Now, they're not able to prove over him with words. They can't get with words. So we're going to see what they do decide to do. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. So, to those that Stephen faced, who are they? They're the freedmen. What is going on with them? They're disputing him. One, when he's teaching, where? In Jerusalem. Why? Why are they coming for him? Because they see him threaten the essence of the Jewish faith. And that's threatening for them. Because remember, in this time, they are blind and they're clinging to religion over relationship. And as they cling to religion, they feel, we're under attack. We're under attack right now. He's come for the temple. He's come for the law. He's come for Moses. He's even come for God. We're under attack is what they try to put forth by distorting what he was saying. Yet we know Stephen, being filled with the Spirit of God, he's just bringing forth truth. And they can't resist the wisdom. They can't resist the Spirit, but which he does it because guess what? Darkness, we know Jesus told us, doesn't like the light. So what do they have to resort to? They secretly induced men. Secrecy. And this is a little caveat I want to remind us. Secrecy ain't for the child of God. It is not for the child of God. If that's hitting, repent, whatever it is, run away and don't look back. Just ping, go. Run, 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 run. Now the induced there, the Greek points to putting false words in the mouth, and it's blasphemy that's coming against Moses and God. And they stir up the people, the elders, the scribes. It's that telephone game where they can't just do it on their own. They've got to get popular opinion so that they can bring it to the council. So how many folks can we stir up with popular opinion to then go forth and get rid of these guys once for all? A reminder to the bride of Christ. We are to never stand on popular opinion. We stand on the Word of God alone. That's something we have to truly anchor in, because the reality is, when you look at this idea of these things being brought up to bring up, there's an application for what we see in the Bride of Christ today moving with the tides of culture. You know, we look at churches and suddenly when certain things were going on, Black Lives Matter is something every church should be subscribing to. Critical race theory is something every church should be subscribing to. All are welcome without any vacuum with a vacuum for truth. And we need to be silent on Israel. These are the waves of popular opinion that the Bride of Christ is falling susceptible to. And that's why we need to pray the Bride of Christ anchors on the Word of God alone. And except as you stand on the Word, accusations will come. Accusations will come. We stand with Israel. We stand with their biblical right to the land. We boldly pray for Israel, his chosen people. The church does not replace Israel. That's where we are. Then that could be distorted. Those Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill people are radical Zionists against Muslims. Whoa. Hang on now. Let's look at this. Let's have a conversation. Let's pray. Truth will be distorted by the father of lies, because guess what he is? A tempter and an accuser. And there's an application there in your own life. Whatever sin you're working with, guess how it goes? He tempts you, you do it, now you're accused. And then it's a cycle, tempt, accuse. You got to break the cycle at the cross. Break the cycle at the cross. So they stirred up, verse 12, people, elders, and scribes. They came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. The council being the Sanhedrin, they're there to protect the Jewish faith. They've managed now, we've got enough, and the context here points to it, even seizing him while he's doing this teaching. And then we've got to pause and say, okay, wait, look to Jesus. When trials come, pause, look to Jesus. Recall those who said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A few days later, crucify him. Here they love, we see in other parts of Acts, that people are loving the apostles and the church, and they're so excited, and now suddenly it's all against. And if we even look at Matthew 26, verse 59, now the chief priests, this is with Jesus as he's going to the Sanhedrin, the elders and the councils, and all the councils sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none, but at last two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And then look at what we see in our text, verse 13. They also set up false witnesses who said, this idea, the same way that the persecution came to Christ is coming to Stephen in this moment. What a joy it is, we saw earlier, to suffer as Christ did. But when we look at the sermon that we're going to see in the coming weeks, Stephen preached a few simple things. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is equal to God. Jesus is greater than a temple, than a building, than any set place. And they had trouble with that because they said, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses delivered unto us. But they're forgetting. And we recall John chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. They believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Same issue hitting Christ is the same issue that hits Stephen. And it comes really, we're seeing, out of religion, not a relationship. Satan's accusations to the servant of God never change. He just puts new packaging on it. It's the same lies, just different packaging. The packaging comes in folks who are not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, and boom, there we go. There's the problem. There's the situation. And again, in the case of our Lord and Savior, and in the case of Stephen, we're reminded only God can change the heart. That's the only one who has the ability to change the heart, because as we look at this, as we see this, he's faithful and obedient to what God's called him to do. But in that, those who want to come against and that the enemy has a grip on to come against distort it and change it. Yet the Lord God uses it for good. Because boy, this text that we're going to see ushered in is a long witness. It's Stephen's witness unto death. The Greek word witness is where we get this idea of martyr and Stephen being the first. Because many of us know how this is going to end. It's going to end with his stoning. His stoning to death. Now, as some of you know from my time as an opera singer, I love looking at particularly Baroque and Renaissance art, and have always enjoyed looking at that with scripture. So can we put up the Rembrandt van Rijn? This is a Rembrandt van Rijn painting. And this painting was done in 1625 when he's only 19 years old. He's a Dutch painter, which is why the characters have a little bit of a Dutch look to them. But when we look at this, this gives a cool portrayal to look at the scene that we're going to be seeing in Scripture. If you look on the far top right, you see those kind of guys up there, and they would be representing the priests. Then if you look at the characters in the center, those folks have worried expressions upon their face, which is believed to be those that would be believers that would be present at this time watching this, what's going to be happening. You see Stephen down in the middle and in this the lavish robe there, but you see him down there and that face with a light shining on it. Then you see this man on a horse to the left, and the man on the horse would be seen to portray Saul. That's the depicting of Saul for the artist and seeing everything that's going on. And we know this is where we're going to plant some seeds of a huge transformation that's going to go. And the false accusation God uses to give a big witness to the Jewish people before the gospel continues to spread. And then we see in there, there's a face, if you take the hairline of Stephen and go up, there's a face underneath two armpits, right, that you see right there. And that face is believed to be kind of the self-portrait of the artist. And it's this face that's in a little bit of agony, watching what's taking place. And I remember the first time looking at that and thinking to myself, what would I do if I were a servant of the Lord, seeing a brother or sister being stoned to death for the gospel's sake? And then I asked myself, how would I face being stoned, being killed for the gospel's sake? How would I look to that? And then we see verse 15, because this is the precursor to that moment taking place. How does he enter what's going to lead to the moment we see in the painting? And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Now, one thing we got to get clear, when we see face of an angel, we're not talking Hollywood over a feminized angel that's looking all, that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a wrathful vengeance coming. We're just talking about a face with no fear, no terror. This face of an angel. It's peace, it's confidence, it's the peace of God through the Holy Spirit. It's a peace that comes from that deep communion with the Lord God Almighty. Spurgeon has a quote that I enjoy when it comes to trials. When you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. The sovereignty of God, it's the pillow which you lay your head. Saints, amidst the storm, let me ask y'all something. Where do you lay your head? In the storm, you might be in a trial right now. Where are you laying your head? Are you laying your head on the circumstances? Are you laying your head on man's wisdoms? Are you laying your head on vices? Are you laying your head on sin? Are you laying your head in fears? Or are you laying your head in the sovereignty of the Lord God Almighty, who is Alpha Omega, beginning and end, author of all things, never surprised, and on the throne forever? Where are you laying your head? And when we see this wording here of this face of an angel, this glow, you would have to think the council might recall Exodus 34 when Moses has come down from Mount Sinai and his face is shining. Shining forth from the glory of God, from the intimacy of being with the Lord God Almighty. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of faith, full of power, gives a Holy Spirit boldness that gives a Holy Spirit endurance. Because there is a Holy Spirit security in the sovereign will of God and the way he gets to his will. And it's important to think about that way, because it's not as though as we look at the life of Stephen, it all ends picture perfect and, you know, no, he dies. Sometimes the will of God is that for your standing in him, for you doing what he's called you to do, you will die. You think of missionaries, right, that are obedient. You think of the story of Jim and Elizabeth Elliot, and Jim Elliot killed. Obedient in doing what the Lord has said. Obedience to what the Lord has called you to do doesn't equal picture-perfect, easy life. But it does lead to picture-perfect eternity with the King of Kings. And that's what we hold on to. That's why we need that eternal perspective. And saints, realize our intimacy with God is going to determine how we arrive at the trial. And we have to understand man's judge and jury can never prevail over God. Period. And when we look at the life of Stephen, it summons God's saints to selflessly surrender, seeking solely Savior Jesus, King of Kings. That's what I love. It's a lot of S's in that, but it's something I like myself to think of. Stephen summons God's saints to selflessly surrender, seeking, lots of clicking, sorry, solely Savior Jesus, King of Kings. And when you're focused solely on the Savior, King of Kings, Christ is enough. That's where that comes from. That question we ask ourselves sometimes, is he enough? He's got to be enough. And then it leads to a peaceful confidence that he has. And then verse 7, beginning of the next chapter, then the high priest said, are these things so? Guess what he now has? The open door. Stephen now has the open door resting. Jesus said there's going to be persecution. Jesus said he's going to give the words in the moment. Look at the arrest. When they seized him, we don't see. And then Stephen started to throw punches at them. No. When they arrest. And then Stephen told all the believers, get together and make a rally and make signs and put on masks and throw things at them. No. There was a waiting. Because intimacy with God builds the discipline to wait on God, to trust in God. And then you walk through the open door he gives. Which then has us have to ask, how's your trust in God? How's your waiting on God? Because don't let the storm be where you try to build your discipline of trusting and waiting on God. Can we get the rock and sand picture? Where are you building? Think about this. Where are you building? We know Matthew 7. We look at it all the time. Where are you building? Are you building on the rock that when the storm comes, you're going to stand? Or are you building on the sand? It's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. That intimacy with God is needed. Because that's how, in the face of persecution, you have peace. You have confidence. For you know who's on the throne. So today we're starting, as we've seen, we started the journey through Stephen. And as we do, the charge for this week is to examine a few areas as we get ready to, sorry for all the clicking here, as we get ready to continue the walk through the journey with Stephen. So if we can put that slide up. So the things to look at, what is your and how are you doing with the Word of God? How are you doing with your walk with God? How are you doing yielding to the will of God and the way of God? And that way of God is one to think about because the way of God might include persecution. That is his will. But how are you doing with that? And saints, can we let Stephen's journey refine us for ours? Can we find contentment in where he has us and fulfill that calling, stewarding each aspect well for his glory? And then allow the Spirit of God to lead and empower for the next things. And can we accept it's not a if persecution comes, it's a when. But there's a preparation that needs to take place. And guess how you prepare? You draw closer to God. So as we get ready, like I said, to dig into his journey, it's a great time for us all to take some stock. How am I doing with the Word of God? What's my time like in the Word? How am I doing as husband and wife talking about the word? Men, how am I doing bringing the word to my family and leading my family in the word? How am I doing there? How am I doing with my walk with God? Day to day, is it works of the flesh more or the fruit of the spirit that's coming as I seek to walk in the spirit, brothers and sisters? And are you resting in the will of God? And how are you doing with the way of God? Because sometimes the will of God the way that he wants his will to get done, it's not going to be exactly what we want it to be. But that's where we got to put our head on the pillow of God's sovereignty. It's a very comfy pillow. And that's where we've got to rest and lay our heads. So before we close today, I want to give an opportunity that to have us just pray for you right now, and I'll pray. But if you heard this, you're thinking of this message, you're going and you're saying, you know, there's areas where I want to fix so that I can draw closer to the Lord God Almighty. Maybe it's your walk, maybe it's the way, the will, whichever. Just stand up right now and we're going to pray for you. Just stand up and we're going to pray for you, because it's important when the piercing comes that we take the time to pray sometimes. You know, and it looks different in different times. Sometimes it's having the elders up here. Sometimes it's different folks walking around. But again, if there's something that hit you and there's an area, I gotta fix some things to draw closer. Stand up so we can pray with you right now. That we can come before you. And you see who's standing. These are your brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord. We got to be able to be vulnerable. Amen. We got to be able to be real so that then do the work this week. Check in on the people you see. Hey, what's going on? How are you doing? Can I pray with you right now? So we are being the bride of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for who you are, Lord. And Father, as we have our brothers and sisters standing right now, Lord Jesus, you know their hearts. You know what spoke to them. You know what pierced that heart, Lord, unto saying, I need to draw closer unto you. I need to move certain things away. You know, if it's coming out of a trial or a circumstance or something they just overcame, Lord, the beauty is you know all the details. But as we see these precious saints standing and saying, I need prayer, Lord, we as a body of believers come and intercede on their behalf. Father, asking you to fill them afresh with your spirit to overflowing, Lord Jesus. Father, asking you, Lord Jesus, to minister deeply unto them, to lay scripture on their hearts, Heavenly Father, that they would write on their hearts that they may not sin against you, Lord, that they would write on their hearts as the manna to hold on to in the midst of the season that they are in. Please, Heavenly Father, have your way in and through each and every single person standing right now, Lord Jesus, and usher in that communion with you. Help that man who needs to lead better to lead better. Help the woman who's holding on to fear to let it go and fear Christ alone. Lord, have your way in their lives. And Father, we just lift up this whole body of believers, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can glean from the journey of Stephen's life, Lord. And Father, help us to be men and women full of faith, full of your spirit and your wisdom and of good reputation. Lord, fill us afresh with your spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me. Lord, fill us with your spirit to be the men and women of God that you desire and design us to be, Lord, for your glory alone. Lord, bless each and every single one of my brothers and sisters. I love this precious people. Bless them, protect them, lead them, and guide them. And Lord, may we truly be filled afresh unto boldness for our King. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. And folks coming to the luncheon will gather around 12:15 and we'll be in either the fellowship hall or one of the classrooms, but just gives a chance for folks to say hello. But we'll gather up maybe even a little bit around 12, but lunch will be getting here at 12:15. Thank you.